And thank you, listeners, for participating and for calling in. This, I am Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth.
Good morning, Kate Blue, KBOO. At 10 o'clock, Eric Kensky is off today. Instead, we'll launch right into Flashpoints today, featuring interviews about a Guantanamo prisoner who was finally given an unlimited chance to plead his case, and teachers in Chiapas, Mexico, who are on strike in Chiapas, Mexico, between the covers, and lots more coming up on your Thursday. And next, it's Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch. Stick around. That's coming right up.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dead Cross Assembly of St. John's. The Veterans Tuesday, June 21st, at 4 p.m., fighting for economic justice and democratic justice. And the event also features a strike debt also for Portland Spotlight, a strike debt against Portland Spotlight Debtors Assembly. Again, St. John's Debtors Assembly, Tuesday, June 21st, 2:47 p.m., first at Cathedral Park in Portland. At Cathedral, more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Got some headlines first. I've been trying to follow what the consequences of the Fukushima meltdowns have been on health generally and the world, and found that it's not easy. Particularly in Japanese society, there seems to be quite the capacity for denying health outcomes. I could say more on that at some other time. But I did manage to find something in a Byzantine way. There is a manufacturer of medical devices website, medgadget.com, and they say the thyroid cancer market is accelerating in the United States since 2010, and it is a disease which is fast on the rise. Incidence has more than doubled since the early 70s, and for women, it is the cancer with the fastest growing number of new cases. On the back of high incidence of thyroid cancer, it is anticipated that the thyroid cancer market in the U.S. will, a brutal thing to say, but that's the way it's written. The thyroid cancer market in the U.S. will observe impressive double-digit growth in the next 5 years. The thyroid cancer diagnosis market is segmented into diagnosis surgeries, histopathology, secondary surgery, and an annual new patient hormone replacement therapy. The diagnostic technology has improved since 2011, And with the use of, and they name a couple of tests, and the detection of even minor nodules has become possible. So they are describing pretty much what you would expect from the influx of iodine, radioactive iodine, which did blow into the United States, was detected specifically, came in on the rain. And at the time, I was advising, you know, take those iodine supplements to crowd out the radioactive iodine. And the U.S. press was poo-pooing any of that. And iodine pills were not made available. But according to MedGadget.com, it would appear that, especially since 2011, as they say, well, business is booming with thyroid tumors. Here's a bit more information if you want to research it yourself. There's been a name change regarding tumors. Type of tumor known as encapsulated follicular variant of papillary thyroid carcinoma, say that three times quickly, has increased in incidence by an estimated 2 to 3-fold over the past 20, 30 years. They say it makes up 10 to 20% of all thyroid cancers diagnosed in Europe and North America. Well, this is from scmp.com, South China Morning Post, and they're saying that the Journal of American Medical Association Oncology is changing the category of that tumor. So if you want to research it, you'll have to do extra research to find this, which is now considered not cancer. They say to reflect that it is now known to be non-invasive and has a low risk of occurrence. The tumor has been renamed as non-invasive follicular thyroid neoplasm with papillary-like nuclear features. Yeah, I know. Curiouser and curiouser. More headlines. How about some global warming weather? You ready for that? This is the warmest May, following on the warmest April. I mean, this is June, of course, but we now know that it was the warmest May, following on the warmest April, following on the warmest March, etc. This year is a disaster. And RobertScribbler.com writes that the U.S. is expected to swelter under a heat dome that is predicted to form this weekend and expand on into next week. Record heat is predicted to first impact the U.S. southwest before building into the central U.S. by late next week. The trigger for what may become a record-shattering heat wave is the predicted development of a powerful atmospheric ridge. Model guidance now shows a strong, high-pressure system currently over the northeastern Pacific. Isn't it funny how that gets into a buzz as soon as you hear that sort of talk? Don't you just see the weather map and kind of start going to sleep? But I'm talking about extremely hot weather. Strong high-pressure system currently over the Pacific, northeastern Pacific, extending its influence eastward over the coming days. By the middle of next week, most of the U.S. is predicted to fall under the atmospheric sway of a big bully of a high-pressure system. Centered over the southwestern states, spiking atmospheric pressures and clear skies are expected to then usher in record temperatures for much of the U.S. southwest. For parts of California's Central Valley near Fresno, temperatures could rise as high as 116 by Wednesday of next week. That's June 21st. That would be the solstice. That's about 23 degrees above average for this time of year and would beat the hottest reading ever recorded in any month for the city. The same day prediction for Sacramento is in the range of 110 Fahrenheit. A little shy of the all-time record, but a reading that would shatter the June 21st daily record by a good margin. Pardon me. And Robert Scribbler also writes, 100 degree plus readings are expected to blanket southeastern California. Sections of northwestern Mexico, southwestern Arizona, and southeastern Nevada, near 100-degree readings are expected to extend as far north as Redding, California. In other words, a huge section of the southwestern U.S. is expected to experience Death Valley-like weather conditions. Emphasis on the death, I guess. I'd be pretty scared if I were in those towns. But looking at the map, it looks to me that, I mean, this is predicting what may happen next week, which, as you know, is kind of a fuzzy science, and that hot weather could definitely come here to Portland. Already has, as you recall, and the saving snowfalls of earlier this year were met by some rather rapid melts. So we're not out of the woods either here in Cascadia and around Portland, Oregon. Now, I would like to turn to the shooting mass shooting in Orlando. As I have often mentioned, I am a transgender woman, and I have felt the increasing anger that has bubbled up along with the Trump campaign against gays, against anyone who isn't, well, Southern-oriented, white, evangelical male. The backlash. And so this shooting is in some ways being presented as an anti-gay shooting. Certainly it is that. However, I did notice after doing this program for so many years and watching the U.S. secret police agencies that there are some things to look at in this phenomenon. And so I'll concentrate on that for a moment. And I'll give you the number for calling in. It's 503-231-8187. And by the way, Para is going to be on at 9:30. And he is going to be talking about this as well. So over the next 50 minutes, we are going to be talking in part about the Orlando massacre. First, I want to quote a former FBI counterterrorism executive in Seattle. And the reason I want to quote him is because I just wanted to lay the basic and typical propaganda that's coming out of the FBI right now, Anya, and quoting, this is from Chicago, I think Chicago Tribune, yes. Chicago Tribune, quotes of David Gomez. If you follow social media, he says, on the topic of the FBI and terrorism, you will find two themes predominate whenever a terrorist incident occurs in the United States. The first is promulgated by conspiracy theorists, anti-law enforcement, social activists, and progressive-minded publications that assert that the FBI manufactures terrorism-related crimes to entrap innocent individuals, primarily young Muslims. These are crimes that would-be terrorists are incapable of committing on their own, they say. Pardon me. Without the help of an FBI informant or undercover agent. In these scenarios, the FBI leads the poor, unsuspecting proto-terrorist by the hand through the various stages of planning, commitment, obtaining a weapon of mass destruction, and ultimately pulling the fake trigger. When the proto-terrorist is finally arrested, certain segments of the public press and pundits howl about how the FBI abused its power and authority to railroad an innocent person, end quote. Note that the factual reporting here is represented as howling. You aren't to forget, I suppose, the passel of FBI entrapment schemes, including the Chicago 7 plot that gathered a group of confused young men, supplied them with combat boots, paid for by the FBI, and then convinced a jury that they are about to bring down the Sears Tower, perhaps by kicking it. More on that in a moment, but it sets the tone for this pro-secret police opinion article. Again, quoting, the second theme that predominates is usually something like, if you knew about this terrorist and investigated him, why wasn't he arrested and this horrible act prevented? This theme was played over and over again during the Boston Marathon bombing investigation when it was revealed that Russian police had sought information from the FBI on Tamerlan Tsarnaev's activities in America. Many people thought the FBI should have continued to investigate Tsarnaev until the Boston plot was uncovered. Of course, this is never as simple as it seems. The FBI does not have free rein in a domestic terrorism investigation, end quote. Yeah, I know. The phrase, the FBI does not have free rein in a domestic terrorism investigation, probably made you snort your Cheerios right through your nose. If you've paid any attention over the past decades. Also, we are presented with the common argument from the corporate-owned media that they are being criticized from the far left and the far right, and that they are merely the reasonable people in the middle. And by implication, of course, you should also be reasonable. It also pretends that the FBI doesn't investigate, not to mention infiltrate and instigate, on the basis of mere suspicions. Absurd. But again, I will quote from the FBI connected persons, Gomez's argument in the Chicago Tribune, quote, the same arguments are now again ringing out across the country, around the country, with the revelation that the FBI investigated Orlando shooter Omar Mateen not once but twice over the past several years for terrorism-related associations. Like Tsarnaev, Mateen wasn't arrested and both cases were closed for lack of evidence of a crime. FBI is bad at investigations, or maybe it's because unless the FBI is playing puppet master, it's incapable of developing the evidence needed to investigate a potential terrorist. As the former head of the Seattle-based Puget Sound Joint Terrorism Task Force, he writes, I know firsthand that neither of these assertions are true. Literally hundreds of assessments, preliminary inquiries, and full investigations are opened each year by the FBI with the intent of preventing a terrorist attack. But many other cases were not investigated simply because, pardon me, under the current domestic investigations and operations guide, the FBI lacked probable cause to continue, end quote. So you can tell already By golly, I'm Flemish this morning. So keep that in mind. And this as well from abcnews.com. Orlando nightclub shooter Omar Mateen legally purchased the guns he had on him today within the past week, even though he had been known to law enforcement for years. Federal officials confirmed that. And law enforcement sources told ABC News that he had 223 caliber AR-type rifle and a Glock handgun on him at the time of the shooting. Early this morning, obviously this is from a few days ago, which the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives says he bought legally. And then it goes on to talk about that context. But in the article, Gomez goes on. I thought I was going to be able to talk today. Hold on just a moment, please. Do re mi. Okay, I'll try that again. Thank you for your patience. Gomez goes on to quote the TV cop show version of the FBI. This is not the FBI that provides thermite bombs to environmental groups seeking to destroy power lines. Not the FBI that threw Geronimo Gijaga Pratt into prison for a generation on a completely fabricated murder charge. Oh no, this is the FBI of Hollywood pot boilers. And I was thinking about... Well, let me quote another sentence. Without probable cause based on fact, he writes, the FBI cannot open a case, execute a search warrant, or take other appropriate law enforcement action. Both of Mateen's investigations were closed, and the FBI determined that he had committed no crime and had no verifiable intent to commit one in the future. And that would have required an overt act on the part of Mateen, but he remained a person of interest to many who knew him, including coworkers and associates, end quote. So I'll skip forward through this critique, as I was saying, from author Gomez of the FBI. Because as you have noticed, Gomez repeats himself. The claim that the FBI is hobbled is, of course, a complete reversal of the truth. The FBI does not give a tinker's damn about the Fourth Amendment, nor any other part of the Bill of Rights. Since I'm broadcasting from Portland, I'll give a more familiar example to prove my point. This is, of course, where the teenager Mohamed Mahmoud was fooled into attempting to detonate a fake bomb at the Christmas tree lighting ceremony some years ago, I think it was 2010. Quoting an article in The Nation, in 2014, Mahmoud was sentenced to 30 years in prison for attempting to blow up a public square in Portland during a Christmas tree lighting ceremony. And departing from the text, maybe you remember that, the turkey bomber. According to lawyers, Mahmoud's parents were the first to tell the FBI that they were concerned that he was becoming radicalized. The FBI developed an elaborate sting operation involving undercover informants who helped a teenager plan the bombing. Mahmoud's defense accused the government of grooming him and manufacturing a crime, while local Muslim leaders questioned why law enforcement waited until after the fake bomb had inspired terror to arrest him. So, and that's the end of the quote. And now, does that sound like a hobbled FBI? Quoting an article from BuzzFeed, months after the trial, Mahmoud's lawyers received an unexpected message from the government. At some point in the investigation, the FBI had used the 2008 amendments to the Foreign Intelligence and Surveillance Act to access Mahmoud's communications without a particular warrant. The notification was bewildering. The government was supposed to inform defendants that they had been targeted by FAA spying before they go to trial, not after. More broadly, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, at least as many legal experts understand it, protects citizens and those living in the U.S. from warrantless surveillance. Today, Mahmoud's lawyers, and this is from a couple years ago, Mahmoud's lawyers are asking the Ninth Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals to overturn their client's conviction. Their central argument is that the FBI's use of the FAA against Mahmoud violated the Constitution, end quote. And that is exactly the sort of thing that Ed Snowden revealed to the world. Warrantless, constitutionless, screw the Fourth Amendment, secret police surveillance. So, well, Gomez then goes on again to claim that the FBI's hands are tied. Really, the article is poorly written because it's just so redundant. This namby-mamby hand-wringing has led to the Orlando attack and was even to blame for not stopping the 9/11 explosions. Quoting, staunch supporters of privacy and constitutional limitations on police power argue that nothing justifies changing the standard, arguing that those who compromise privacy for safety have neither. The problem is, he writes, as we have seen in Orlando, the price paid for missing those investigative opportunities is high, end quote. And the sub-headline under that says, Orlando nightclub massacre reminds us that we're still living in the age of terror. And when I see that headline, I think, yeah, I think maybe it was designed to do that. And as I was saying, I have reasons for my suspicions. Gomez then goes on to argue that the FBI should be allowed to have a back door into all encryption. Here we go with that again. And there should be effectively no privacy rights whatsoever. Versus the secret police. Of course, he doesn't use the phrase secret police. You're not supposed to use secret police. You're not supposed to say secret police when you say secret police, although I think that if more people did, we'd have fewer secret police. See one? Start yelling, secret police! By now, you've probably heard that the attacker had attended the nightclub on numerous occasions over the past couple of years, that he was a regular there, that he was brutal to his wife and frightening to fellow employees. Given that the FBI engages over and over again in elaborate schemes in order to promote the endless war on terror, my question is whether the FBI has been far more involved in this man's psyche and in the commission of the attack than they are letting on. The story that victims told about the attacker releasing gales of laughter, which was certainly the opposite of his personality, reminded me of another gun attack on a popular singer-songwriter who was hated by the FBI to the extent of keeping a 300-page file, to the extent of following him around with infiltrators. The singer was gunned down some years ago by an unstable man who seemed quite calm after the attack, as if relieved of a burden. Of course, I'm talking about the assassination of John Lennon by Mark David Chapman. An interesting affair, and not the sort of thing that was well reported, I think, in the press, especially as it's come out over the years, that we have a sort of mythology about Chapman that simply isn't true. For example, we were told that he was obsessed with Lennon and had reams of his music and writing. He didn't. Anywhere. And he was, like Omar Mateen, he was the son of someone who was very involved with a CIA-connected organization. In the case of Mateen, his father was involved with the deep state and was and maybe still is involved with a television broadcast in Afghanistan. He seems to bounce on to one side or the other of the Taliban. In the case of Mark David Chapman, his father was with World Vision, a CIA-promulgated a pseudo-aid group that has been associated with various hideous happenings over the years, which I won't go into at the moment. And so, of course, what I'm hinting at is that this dual personality that seems to be revealed by Omar Mateen might not just be self-hating gayness. It may be something that was exacerbated, encouraged, and maybe even programmed by a secret police agency, so that we would have this very handy attack as we go into the election season with candidates trying to outdo themselves, talking about how fierce they are versus the Middle East and how competent one candidate says that she is about conducting such imperialism and how fierce the other candidate says that he is in the same category. Very, very handy. Now, for continuing the extremely profitable drone bombing, military adventures, etc., in the Middle East, that we now have this narrative that they hate us for being okay with gays. I don't necessarily buy it. And so, to conclude that part of my little exposition here, I think there are reasons to think that there's more to this little stunt. Okay, I can't use the word stunt then, can I, with that sort of hedging? I'll rephrase it. That tells you what I'm really thinking. I think it's a stunt. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I smell a rat, and as an anti-imperialist, I say this should be looked at very carefully. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Thomas is on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Teresa. Yeah, this horrible killing, you know, it's just you see all the usual wheels in motion after this. And I'm with you as far as investigating all the connections, because you do see these horrible links, as you mentioned, between the U.S. government intelligence and police operations and some of these really unsavory characters. But I think that a much stronger case, and we have to be careful about the, going too far with conjecture, but, you know, I think a stronger case that can always be made in situations like this is one that's akin to what, you know, Naomi Klein talks about in her book, The Shock Doctrine, the fact that the, you know, those that are rich and powerful and those that are in high positions of government, you know, they essentially have a laundry list of pre-existing agendas. And, you know, the creed is sort of, you know, never let any opportunity pass to sort of Trojan horse your pre-existing agenda. You know, and if there's a human event that has large emotional gravity or, you know, and really, really hurts the psyche of the public, then you jump on. And, of course, the situation with this psychologically unhinged homophobe, you know, and coming in and talking about, I mean, look at it. You're talking about, here you have Hillary Clinton and you have pretty much all of the Democratic establishment talking about, you know, anyone who, quote unquote, is on the no-fly list should not be able to purchase a firearm. Well, isn't that interesting? Is this the same no-fly list that was for years a fight by many of these Democrats?
Yes, I mean, you hear people talking out of both sides of the mouth on that. I think that's very interesting. And there are calls for that sort of, frankly, repression. Now, personally, I don't see why assault weapons, rifles with, 10 and 20 count magazines are sold openly. I think that's cray-cray. And I'm not anti-gun generally. I'm anti-gun violence, certainly, and anti-toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And another thing that reminds me of the way you framed it is also the way that Noam Chomsky, for example, frames the 9/11 events, which is fine. It works. I would argue with Noam Chomsky about the specifics, but, you know, we're both on the same boat when it comes to countering imperialism. So,
The thing is, I would say that it doesn't have to be an either or. You can leave the door open to a larger, deeper, direct involvement in some of these things, but also, you know darn well that there is, you know, 9/11 was a tremendous early Christmas gift, not only to the Bush administration, the neocons in both parties, also to the military-industrial complex, who were known to have pre-existing agendas. You know, it's really hard to find a good guy in the fight. And I would even extend in this latest tragedy, this ISIS is basically doing the same thing. They had no contact with this fellow. You know, you had a psychologically unhinged person that grasped for a sense of meaning for his anger and outrage. And, of course, then, you know, a la shock doctrine, even ISIS is doing it. So everybody's doing it. And as far as the thing with assault rifles, as horrifying as it is, and as much as it gun culture, quote unquote, sickens, and you know the more ugly aspects of it, you know, disturb us. It's still interesting to look at the fact that if you look at preventable deaths in the United States, even just within guns, of the 30,000 some odd people that die, the vast majority of those are by handguns, and the vast majority of those are people taking their own lives. So, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, in all of this outrage and in preparing to actually take an unprecedented step of limiting.
Oh, there's music and I'm out of time. I'm really sorry, but I'll have to wrap that up. I did want to, before I get off and the air and turn it over to Per, I want to point out that there is apparently a red herring that you can find in the press. And this is just my take on it. It's a video in which people are shown carrying someone else away from the shooting, and then those same people can be seen putting the person down, laughing and joking. This sort of thing does not mean that the event did not occur. Generally, that sort of thing is put out by someone who wants to manipulate propaganda in order to create confusion. The idea is that people will fasten on that and say, "Oh, the whole thing's a fake," and then they will look like idiots. That's the end product that is desired. You've been listening to Press Watch, going out to you via the transmitter on the hill at 90.7 FM, other frequencies in Cascadia, and via the World Wide Web at kboo.fm, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the World Beat PDX monthly series featuring Wamba on Tuesday, June 16th at the Analog Cafe in Portland. Wamba plays percussive jazz and funk with a strong World Beat influence and will be playing two sets that evening. Again, that's Wamba on Tuesday, June 16th at the Analog Cafe, 720 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fagrang, and the show is Fight the Empire. And a lot of things to talk about. It's kind of a combo plate special. Got a lot of different items to talk about.